when she was about 10 years of age, she got into horses, Sarah. She got into where she loved horses. And so we did like horse riding birthday parties, and we found a stables close by our house, and she was able to take some horseback riding lessons. And she loved that. Every Saturday we would go out and spend a couple hours out there at the stables, and she would feed the horses, and you know, they'd get them prepped and get them saddled up and all that. And then afterwards they would have to take care of them, you know, clean them off and brush them out, and they would show them how to do all that. And she loved that. But what she learned, watching her though, she learned, I guess there's different styles of riding. You have to help me here. There's Western and there's English style. And she got to where she was pretty good with both of them. And I'll tell you how she did it. Not that she wasn't athletic and learned well, she did that, but she had the most amazing horse. His name was Aster, and he was a very experienced horse. So he kind of knew the ropes. He knew what the kids needed to do in their competitions and all that. He was a great horse. And so she learned to do that. But what I loved to watch her do, I loved doing the Western and the things that she had, the obstacle course and all that. But the English riding, there's something about the English riding. Do you do that as well? I know you do barrel races and all that. You're amazing at that. But yeah, the English riding, there's a beauty about that when they ride around inside the corral there, and they're around the fence area, and they're it's like you have to keep a gallop with the horse. It's like you're up and down, you're pushing with your legs, I guess, and you're up and down, and the horse kind of gets a little gallop going. You know, at first as a parent, you're like, don't run too fast. But Aster knew what he was doing, and he was keeping a step about him, and she was able to stay in rhythm. My prayer time this week, I've been asking God to speak to this church. And I've got some things in my heart that I feel like the Holy Spirit wants us to hear. And I'm going to ask you, if you turn your Bibles to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to start there. The writer of Hebrews is very concerned. He's issuing some challenges. Challenges to the body. And then we're going to look at some of what Paul was saying to the church in Galatia. Some strong warnings there as well. You notice, I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your attentiveness. I appreciate your posture in this room. And I'm again going to ask that the Holy Spirit have his way. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for everybody in this room and everybody in this house. And even, Lord, I know that there's several part of our body that are sick in the body today. And including my wife, I pray that you would encourage and strengthen, God, your Holy Spirit come around them today, God, and encourage them, Lord. God, those watching online, I pray, Lord, that every home, every place that's watching at this moment, even after we've met and it's on the recording and they watch it later, I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, just permeate and minister, Lord, through these signals and through into the home and to the place where someone's watching, maybe at their job or in their car. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would do the work you want to do, Lord, and speak to our hearts today. We ask this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. I want to remind us, last week I opened up Hebrews. And the writer of Hebrews was warning us and telling us that there's going to come a day where people are dull of hearing. It's not that they lack understanding or not intelligent enough to understand what the word is saying. That's not what we're reading in scriptures, where you should you know, already have the meat of the word, but you're still needing the milk of the word. It's not that you don't understand the word of God. Some of you have been around this thing for a long time and you know the word of God. It's not like you're not unable to understand it. It's just that your ears grow dull of hearing. And we grow dull of hearing the word. It's like, oh, I've heard that before. That message has been preached before, or I've read that before, and it doesn't have any challenge or any change in my heart. And then the writer of Hebrews, I'm going to back it up to Hebrews chapter 2, and I want to talk to you today a little bit about walking in the Spirit, or by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit. Kind of like Madison riding that horse and walking and galloping in cadence with the horse, and there's a rhythm, we're together in this, and there's a step that you stay in with the horse, in with the Spirit, if you will. Hebrews 2. Thank you, Debbie. I really appreciate your help today for that. Thank you so much. Hebrews 2 and verse 1 says, we must pay, if you're there, say praise the Lord. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. I want you to underline that or highlight that in your Bible. Because he's warning again. He's saying in chapter 4 and 5, he's warning us about being dull of hearing and not understanding. But here, if you back it up, he's echoing the same thought, the same sentiment. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. You guys have heard the message. Unless this is the first time you've ever heard the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, open your heart, open your ears. But many of you in this room and watching online, you have heard the message. Be careful to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. For since this message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation or disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? How many would consider your salvation great? The salvation which was first announced by the Lord was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs. Everybody say it with me. Signs, wonders, various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. I'm looking forward in the month of July, we're going to get into talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit and really what that's all about and what God wants us to have as a church body in that gifting of the Holy Spirit. The writer of Hebrews is saying here that God testifies to us by the signs and the wonders and the various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. And my prayer is that, God, you would will that you pour out your Spirit on your body here at First Assembly of God. And many times I speak in general senses to the church at large, but this message is for you guys. This is for us as a body. This is for us. So I want you to lean in just a little bit this morning, or you lean in a whole lot. Let's hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. Then I want you to see Hebrews chapter 2. I want you to look at it and open your eyes differently maybe than what you've seen before and pay strictly attention to what Hebrews, the writer, is saying. Pay careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not fall away. He talks about this being a binding, the salvation, and that it's confirmed by the Lord. Your salvation is confirmed by your Lord. I remember as a young man here at First Assembly, when I first got saved, I first gave my heart to Jesus, began to follow after Christ. And someone would ask me, how do you know you're saved? And I would say, well, because I came down and I prayed I said that sinner's prayer, and he said, yeah, that's great, but that's not what I'm asking you. Well, how do you know you're saved? And he did it for 2 or 3 weeks in a row, and finally I asked him, I said, why do you keep asking me that? He says, I want you to know because you're saved because the Word of God says that you are, and that you base your life and your foundation on the Word of God. And I talked about that last week, where we need to love God, understand God, and understand his principles for us through the Word. You love God through the Word of God. You learn about God through the Word of God. But also walking in cadence, in rhythm with the Word of God is the precious, powerful, mighty, everlasting Holy Spirit of God. The presence of God. You can read the Bible, you can carry the Bible, you can own 12 Bibles, but it doesn't matter if you don't let the Holy Spirit speak to you through the Word of God. That's what brings life to the Word. It's the living Word of God. And I want us to walk over, keep this place in Hebrews. I want you to think on this. But also want us to go back over to Galatians and think about what Paul is saying to the churches in Galatia. And I want you to think about the context here. Because he says a phrase that where I feel like the writer of Hebrews is also echoing to us is to keep in step, walk in step, walk by the Spirit. And Paul echoes the same sentiments when he talks about living in step with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know the Holy Spirit. Everybody say Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not, it's not a way of worship. Rather, it is the person of the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me this morning? The Holy Spirit is not a way of worship. It is the person of the Holy Spirit. It is the Father. It is the Son. It is the Holy Spirit. It is a person. It's the triune nature of God. Sometimes we interpret the Spirit as how we feel or how we sense or the emotion of it or in the worship. And God is in that. But the worship of the Holy Spirit is in the person of the Holy Spirit. Several years ago, I kind of worked through this a little bit. I was like, can I pray to the Holy Spirit? I know I pray to the Father in Jesus' name, but can I pray to the person of the Holy Spirit? And I had some wonderful wisdom and just wonderful counsel that was given to me, is that that person of the Holy Spirit is equal to the person of God, the person of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. He's not a subcategory of God. You understand this? It is Father, it is Son, it is Holy Spirit, and He is a person. And I realized that I could pray to the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, I found it pretty fulfilling and pretty cool to be able to express my heart's desire, my heart's, my prayer, my concerns to the person of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, I'm going to leave, and I'm going to leave so that there's something better that I can give you, and that is the presence of my Holy Spirit. Wait on the Holy Spirit. So the context here, Paul's dealing with some things. He's dealing with the divisive issue in the church. Now, Paul is addressing the church in Galatia, churches in Galatia, as a father figure, if you will, a pastoral father. He's dealing with problems in the church, and he's speaking to them as a father. He's speaking to them as a pastor, and he's being firm, he's being to the point, but he's also being very loving. And I want us to receive this today. Go with me, if you will, in Galatians. Look at your neighbor, see Pastor Steve's going to do some heart surgery today. Be ready. Y'all ready for some heart surgery? I hope you're ready. I am. Chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom. You guys see that? You guys see that? Galatians 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. How many are free in the house today? We're free in the name of Jesus. So don't be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. What does he mean by that? Mark my words, I, Paul, your pastor, your friend, your mentor, the church planter, the pastor of this church, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be no value to you at all. So what he's doing, he's addressing Jews who have become Christian. They have become part of the way. They're following Jesus now. They know the law like the back of their hand, and they know how to live by the law. And he's saying, if you choose to live by the law, then you're no longer serving Jesus. You're going back to your old ways. And what these Jewish Christians were doing is they were defaulting back on the way they knew how to serve God. And there's controversy in the church about, oh, you got to be circumcised if you're going to be part of us. If you're going to be part of our Christian group now. We're Jews, but yeah, we're Christians, so you got to be circumcised. And then the other part of the church says, no, you don't have to be circumcised. It's in Jesus. And they said, yes, you do. No, you don't. Yes, you do. And there was division in the house. How many know that God hates division in the house of God? It should be this. It should be that. You should do this. You should do that. No, it should be this way. It should be that way. All the while, our world around us is dying, and they're looking for a living hope in Jesus, and they can't see it because the church is saying, no, you should do it this way. No, you should do it that way. No, you should. I'm not getting my way around here, so I'm going to do it that way. I'm going to tell you how you should do it. And my heart bleeds because there's division in the house. And we're wanting revival. We're wanting the Holy Spirit to move in this place. Guys, we're a long way from that. Verse 7 says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you? Who made you start thinking that way when you were running a good race? Who told you you had to do it that way? Who told you shouldn't be doing that, you should be doing this? When you were full of God, you were on your way, and God was doing something in your heart, He was stirring your heart. Who stepped in on you and cut you in? That kind of persecution does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I'm confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion Whoever that may be will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I'm still preaching circumcision, then why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Cut themselves off from the bodies. Cut themselves off from causing division in the church and causing discord in the church because they just need to cut themselves off if they're not going to change their hearts. And I love what he says in verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Everybody say free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. In other words, just because you're free doesn't mean you can do anything you want to do. Act away any way you want to act. No, that's not what he said. Paul says, no, as a matter of fact, it's the opposite of that. It says, rather, serve. Everybody say serve. Serve one another humbly in love. I want you to underline that. It's really key for us to see that. But the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, and this is where you got to get this in your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by Spirit. Everybody say that with me. Walk by the Spirit. So he's dealing with this issue of divisiveness in the church and division. He's dealing with that division. And it's called by different points of view, this same Jewish practice of circumcision. There's a division in the hearts. And the reasons why there's division in the heart, Paul begins to explain. He says in verse 16, I want you to walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. That's an important lesson for us to get today. To walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And say, Pastor, I hear that, I see the words, but what does that really mean, to walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh? Well, Paul lays it out for us. In verse 17, you see, the flesh will always work against the Spirit. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You ever felt that tension before? The flesh working against your spirit? Look at verse 17. It says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want, but you are led by the Spirit. There's that walking with the Spirit, by the Spirit, and not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. And this is where, if you want to know what the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit, he starts laying it out a little bit easier for us to understand. Now I want you to watch this. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Strong, strong warning. He says, I warn you, as I did before, for those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. If that's the flesh, then what is walking by the Spirit? If we're walking by the Spirit, when I turn and look into His wonderful face and I get closer to Jesus, all those things fade away in the light of His glory and grace. We used to sing that song, right? And Paul says, the more you lean towards God, the more you take on the character of God, the more you reflect the image of Jesus, these things should no longer be a part of your life. The flesh. The fleshly things. Pastor, a lot of those things don't apply to me. But I guarantee you there's one or two that hits every one of us. Let's read them again. Maybe you have a check in your heart. This is the heart surgery part. Because your spirit and your flesh are conflicting with one another. The acts of flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as it did before, for those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And this is where I love how he opens up Galatians 5. And a lot of us remember, you memorized this in Vacation Bible School as a kid, this, the fruit of the Spirit. But think about it in this context. Oh, it's good to have love and joy and peace and patience. Yeah, we want those things. But what is he saying? If you're no longer living by the flesh, then your life should reflect these things instead. Does anybody hear me this morning? If you're no longer living by the flesh, and you're loving the Holy Spirit, and there's a tension in your heart against the flesh, then you begin to walk in the things that Paul says we should walk in. And what does he say? Verse 22, read it with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. More time. Read it out loud with me. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's kind of like the heart surgeon. He's taking that stuff off your heart, or he's getting those arteries cleaned out, and now he's opening and he's putting back in. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's putting in the love, the joy, peace, patience, kindness. We're not kind enough in the church to each other. I've talked to people in the world and they say, man, I've tried church and my friends who are lost are nicer to me than people I met in the church. That's a quandary for me. All the years I've been in church and been in ministry, it's a quandary for me to understand why the people who have this, who have the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, can live in a context where there's division, envy, and strife, and jealousy, and hatred. It's not of God, guys. It is not of God. And as long as I'm in the season of being the pastor of this church at Rock Hill First Assembly of God, I have a responsibility as your shepherd to use the Word of God to lovingly correct and rebuke. It's in the Word, right? And call it what it is. As long as I'm pastor here, and I don't know for how long that season will be, but I think every morning I thank God for the opportunity to be here. But as long as I'm here, I'm going to do my best to lead this church the way the Word says I should lead it. And I cannot allow division in this house. Divisiveness, coarse talk, murmuring, dissension of any kind. I cannot allow that. And I'm asking my board, I'm asking those leaders in the church, I'm asking you in this church to guard your hearts and cut that off. Cut it out. Stop it. Because if we don't, we are not going to experience the power of the Holy Spirit that God wants us to experience. I'm sorry, we just won't, Ralph. We can pray all day until we're blue in the face. We can holler and hoop and run around these all. We can do all that. But unless there's love in this house and no more division, then we'll never experience the outpouring that God wants us to have. Mary Allison, I need your prayers. Because we don't know how to do it all. We're asking God to lead us and show us, and we're trying to follow Him the best that we can. And as we follow, I love what my friend Len Sweet says. He says, there's not no such thing as leadership in the church. We go to leadership conferences. What is that? There's no true leaders in the church. What we're doing is we're following the leader. It's Jesus we're pointing people to. We may not always get it right. You're going to have the personality of Steve that comes out, and I'm still dealing with Steve. I'm still dealing with attitude and personality, things like that. But I have never been in a place where I have so much different things coming at us, where I feel like there's indifference and there people just don't like me and I can't figure that out. I've been in places where people think I'm indifferent, maybe I'm different, and they don't. I get that, but I've never been in a place where I have felt so much. Lord, help me. It shouldn't be this way. And as pastor and leader of your church in this body, I'm just saying to you guys and imploring you, I'm begging you with Paul's words, the fruit of the Spirit, if we're walking with the Spirit and walking by the Spirit, is love. Say it with me. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, long-suffering. Lord, help me. I don't want me to. I get too transparent sometimes. See, Paul's saying to the Jewish Christians here, he's saying, if you want to live by the law, then you're going to die by the law. And you're pretty much abolishing what Jesus is doing in your life, if you want to live that way. And I'm just saying it doesn't have to be that way. And that's what Paul was saying. He's saying, I'm the pastor of these churches, and if you're going to be in this church, I'm speaking to you. He said, you got to live by the Spirit. Otherwise, you need to cut yourself off. You got to live by the Spirit. So how do we live by the Spirit? We have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Y'all still with me? So then he says, let's put these readers back on, buddy. I can't see without them. I can't see out there, but I can see closer up, so I'm good to go. I have to read. He says, verse 24, those who belong to Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, that's an act on your part. Jesus has forgiven you of your sins, and you're justified, and you're being sanctified through the Holy Spirit. But you, by your act of spiritual disciplines, crucify the flesh. You have to do that. You follow me on that? And my prayer is, how many want God to move in this house? I mean, listen, if you really want Him to move, then you've got to crucify the sinful desires. Crucify them. That's not playing games with them. That's getting rid of them. That's ridding them out of your life. Dealing with them. The spiritual disciplines. In my prayer time this week, I said, Lord, we want to see a move of you. We want to see the Holy Spirit flow in this house. And I'm going to share some things He gave me, because we're not ready yet. He gave me some very specific things for our body that we're going to have to work on, spiritual disciplines, if we're going to see the move of God in His place. And what excites me, Debbie, is that God's preparing us for something great. I sense it in my heart. God is preparing for us for something great. And I don't want us to miss it. But if we're divisive and there's no unity, there's a lack of love and a lack of respect, and we're going to miss it. I don't want you to miss what God wants for us, because He wants to use this body to minister to this community. But we got to get rid of the silliness in the games that we're playing in the flesh. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And I can see Madison galloping around that arena, and just in the, and she's just in cadence with the horse. I'm so proud of her watching that. I'll never forget it. I can still see her doing it. Let me get back here. Verse 17, they are always in conflict with each other, your spirit and your flesh. And that's where, I will speak to the church in general, that's where we're at today. We're trying to reinvent ourselves to the body or to the world. But we have so much division and disunity in the church that we've got a long way to go. I heard something on the way in this morning, and it was a reminder that I wanted to use today, is that we have a low level of honoring one another. And the Bible is very clear about honoring, esteeming each other above yourself. Honor your brother. Honor your sister. Honor. If you're honoring them, then there's no room for division and discord and nastiness and just meanness. There's no room for that. If you're honoring one another, yes, you can lovingly come to them and lovingly rebuke and lovingly show them and lovingly work things, talk about things. But if there's meanness, if there's this mean spirit about it, or things that are said out of turn, or things that are said behind your back, that's not honoring one another. Verse 19, Paul lists the reasons why, and we've already said that, but listen. A spirit-empowered disciple I can't even read my own writing. A spirit-empowered disciple, I usually type everything out, I don't have a problem now. I gotta read my handwriting. Continually surrenders to the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit and seeks the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, not a practice, and the practice comes when we live out the Spirit's gifts of the fruit of the Spirit. Also in 1 Corinthians 12:14, I love Derek and Greta was sharing with me that Kennedy had shared a devotion at their camp out last week, and she spoke out of Corinthians, and I believe she spoke out of, about love in chapter 13, maybe she used that. Remember I asked you guys a few weeks ago, what is the vital sign for the church? Somebody help me. What is the vital sign for the church? The church that is alive. What is it? Love. 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 The vital sign for the church is love. You guys still with me? Vital signs for walking in the Holy Spirit, and we see the fruit. And so the verse 22, the fruit laid out is that healthy soil, the good soil. It's the tilled soil. It's the nurtured soil. It's the heart to live by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit. And then in verse 26, he says, let us not become conceited, thinking we got it all, we know it all, provoking and envying each other. So, again, how many want to move a God in this place? Now, when you raise your hand, this is serious business, guys. How many truly want to move a God in this house? I've got three concerns that I've been observing, and I'll give you these, and then we're going to pray. That's really all I have today. I think I've said enough. Number one, the Lord said, you want a move of God. I know you do. But you're not hungry enough. You're not hungry enough. We are not hungry enough as a body. I said, Pastor, what do you mean? I serve. I'm here. I do. I'm committed. I give. Let that fall where it may. The Holy Spirit said, you're not hungry enough. And I said, Lord, what do you mean by that? He says, you lack spiritual disciplines. That could be for the church as a whole, Bradley. I mean, we see that all around. We're not hungry enough. The body, we're lazy. We don't want to read the Bible. We want somebody to give it to us. We want to be served. We don't want to take time to pray. Charles Wesley, circuit rider, preacher, songwriter, evangelist, he said, there's so much going on with my life during a day. I have to make time to pray, so I'll get up 3 hours earlier before my day starts so I can pray. Are we really willing to make the commitment? Yeah, I want to move of God, but am I willing to do the disciplines it takes to make that to happen? So I got to be in the Word. We're not hungry enough, and the Holy Spirit says you're not hungry enough. And I thought, Lord, how do we become more hungry? I mean, we're creating environments to learn and grow here in the Word. We got church life, we got first life, I've got prayer nights. We got January. We did this June. And honestly, guys, I've been really concerned about the low attendance for our prayer meeting on Wednesday night. I'm gonna be transparent with you, can I be? And I know there's reasons why. There's work schedules. I get that. But we've had a very low attendance, and I'm thinking, Lord, we want a move of God, but we're not hungry enough. I hope you still love me after that one. And I thought about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Everybody say all. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So anytime I do a heart check and the Holy Spirit says you're not hungry enough, and I said, Lord, then what does that mean? And he directs me to Proverbs 3, and he says, in all your ways. And so for wherever that lands for you, you have to see where the heart surgeon's working on you this morning. Is there an area in my life I'm not giving to God in all my ways? In all, everybody say all my ways. And I said, Lord, how else can we demonstrate that we're hungry? And he says, love for my word and a love for people. A love for people. A love for your neighbor is more than just saying, hey, how you doing? It's more than just saying, I love you. You know that, don't you? It's coming alongside of them, honoring. Everybody say honor. It's honoring them. Placing them above yourself. Honoring them. And I said, Lord, what else is there? I'm trying to observe why we're not seeing a move of God like I desire in this place. And secondly, the Holy Spirit said this to me. We are deficient in our honor of one another. I've already said that, but this is how I laid it out. I'm reading my writing now. We're deficient in honoring one another. It's quiet in here today. Is that why? Are you thinking? Are you just sleeping? Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you listening to what the Lord and Spirit is saying here? Honoring one another. I don't know where that falls for you or what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, but it's time we honor one another. I've done too many funerals where I wished I would have said something before they passed. I wish I'd have done that. I wish I would have done that instead. You precious saints, every moment we have together, I want to honor you. And my wife and I, when we talk to people about this church, we use treasure terms. Sure, there's been some stuff we've walked through. There's been some challenges, and I knew it wasn't going to be a rose garden. Any church is not, because there's people, and people are imperfect. We're all in process. But what we have to do, guys, is we have to honor one another. Third thing, well, honoring one another, Romans 12:10 says, Paul says, honor, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Romans 12, he says this, honor one another above yourselves. Third thing is, so we're not hungry enough. The Holy Spirit was telling me we're not hungry enough. We're not honoring one another. The third thing he said to me is that we're not united. We're not united. I said, Pastor, what do you mean? I can just see it from this point of view. We're not united. We've made some great strides and some great gains, but we're not united. I'll read in the book of Acts when there was a move of God. In Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of the Lord descended, and there was a hush, and there was a wind, and there was a fire, and it was a great expansion of the church. There's a key word in that. It says that they were all in one accord. They were all in unity. I believe they were honoring one another. Talks about them sharing as a community their needs with one another, their supplies. There was love in the house. Again, I know that they were far from perfect, because nobody is perfect, but there was honor in the house. It said they were unified. There was no division. And there was a mutual respect and love for one another and honor for one another. And so in that place, in that element, God poured out His Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? So I'm asking you again, do you want a move of God? Let's be hungry. Let's strive to honor one another. And let's pray for a spirit of unity. And if you really mean business with that, a spirit of unity, then you have to guard that. You have responsibility. In this church, if you call this church your home, you have responsibility to keep the spirit of unity in this house. Did you know that? You're responsible for the unity in this place. That means any out-of-turn talk, you must deal with that. In a biblical manner, you must direct that in a healthy way. Are you going to be out of line and just as in fault of the person giving it? Because Paul's laying it out for us. He's saying these things are where the flesh is battling with the spirit, and the flesh is... Well, let's read it one more time. I'll do better reading it than trying to... The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Think about Madison riding that horse, and you'll appreciate this. Asher was a very learned horse. He was an old horse, and he could probably walk that obstacle course by himself. But the thing about, and listen, this is really important. I want you to get to this, and I'm going to wrap it up with this thought here. Is that he, even though he knew what to do, and he could have done it on his own, how many know God is God, and we're not going to change who God is just by how we act? He's sovereign. Asher could have been stubborn and just did it on his own without her giving him any cues or any. Jesus says we're co-laborers together. So she had to learn the commands. She had to learn the, or the, what is it? She could pull him, walk him backwards. If she just pulled a little bit, if she pulled too hard, he wouldn't do anything because that was too abrupt. He'd pull a little bit this way. She'd kick a little bit. If she kicked too hard, he wouldn't like that. She had to just kind of nudge him. I think it's the same way when we walk in cadence. Paul said to walk, everybody say walk by the Spirit. When we walk by the Spirit, we walk in cadence with the Spirit, but we also have to be responsible for the disciplines to do so. Meaning, we got to learn the giddy up. We got to learn the bump. When we can't pull too hard, we got to wait on God. We can't get in a rush and kick him and say, well, I want to do it this way. I want to go that way. I want to go that way. It's no, he said, stay in cadence with me. I know where we're going. Just ride. And so what Madison had to learn to do, and what I'm asking you to do, is that the person of the Holy Spirit says, all we have to do is just hold on. Look at your neighbor and say, hold on. Hold on. Second thing we got to do is we got to be patient. We've got to hold on, not get in a hurry, be patient. And the last thing that Madison had to learn, which one time she didn't wait on the horse, and she wanted him to go around the track one more time, and she was trying to give him, and he just got tired and just leaned his head way down, and she rolled off of him onto the grass. Scared me to death. She's way over in this other pasture. I ran over as fast as I could, and I'm thinking she's hurt, but he was so gentle. He just kind of laid his head down. So he didn't like bump her off, but he just let her roll down his neck and into the grass. And she was fine. She wanted to get back on and keep riding. Maybe the Holy Spirit does us up that way sometimes. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But maybe he gently just says, hey, if you're going to be that way, then you need to step off and take a break here and let me do some heart surgery. Hold on, be patient, and wait. That's what the Holy Spirit said for me to give you today. Is that okay, Jackie? Hold on. Hold on, because God wants to do something in this church. He wants to do something through us. Let's be patient and keep doing the right thing right. Pastor Bernie and Susan, bless your hearts. You served for 27 years in this body. I know probably better, more than anybody in this room, you want to see a move of God in this place. Or you wouldn't be here. And I'm honored that you're here. And I pray that every time I'm around you, I honor you. I honor you well. I want to do that. I had a young man call me this week. Y'all still with me? I don't want to keep you from your lunch and all that. But I had a young man call me this week. He says, Pastor, I needed to interview a pastor, and I needed to get some answers, and I want to ask you some questions for my master's program I'm doing. I'm like, I'd be honored, man. I'm honored that you would ask me that. And he says, how do you want to be remembered? And also, I want to be remembered as a man who loves God with all of his heart. I want to be remembered as a man who loves his word. And I want to be remembered as a man who honored and loved people. I really mean that. I want to honor you well. I want to honor everyone in this room. And if I haven't done that with you, I ask that you'd forgive me. I'm going to do my best to do so. But also, as a pastor, shepherd, leader of this, or follower of this body, I have to make sure that we are loving and honoring one another. And I'm asking you, I'm imploring you, I'd get on my hands and knees and beg you to please let love rule your hearts. Let love rule your hearts. And let's believe that God's going to do something mighty in our midst. Amen. Let's stand together. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thy own special way. Father, I ask, Lord, that on behalf of this body that we become very hungry, Lord, to know you. We become a people that would honor one another above ourselves and that will strive for unity and will guard what you're doing here, God, with all of our hearts. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would rule and reign and lead in Jesus' name. I also ask, God, your blessings on this congregation, those watching online. Lord, that you would command your angels concerning them to guard them in all their ways, Lord. That you would guide them and protect them and provide for them and direct their lives, Lord. I thank you so much for everyone in this place. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said amen. If you love